While you're turning to Isaiah, the 6th chapter, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good day you've given us. Thank you for the beautiful weather. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful creation you've blessed us with. We thank you, Lord, that we see your handiwork in all the earth, even though it's marred by the curse of sin. Even though society is marred by sin, we still see your wisdom, still see your handiwork in all that's around us. Help us, Lord, to lift up our eyes with a hope to the God that is the Creator that's still in control. Help us, Lord, that we would purpose to follow you fully, that we might have the help we stand in need of in the day in which we live. Now help us as we look into your word. We need your help tonight to deliver that which you've given us. We ask it in Jesus' name. We'll give you all the praise. Amen. We live in a time of godlessness. It's a time when our society is fast losing the influence of God. Godless time, a godless time, inevitably becomes a wicked time. But the real problem is not just the wickedness, it's the loss of the knowledge of God. The real underlying problem is the godlessness. We lived through wicked societies before, but when people had a consciousness of God, you had a hope they could be reached, right? When people become godless, wickedness is inevitable, and that's the problem. But the real underlying problem is the loss of the knowledge of God. Amos 8:11 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, when I'll send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread and a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." We're in such a time. We're in a time not where we don't have the Word of God, but I tell you what, really hearing from God is a scarce thing in our day and time. Now this time of godlessness and wickedness will come to an end. There is a real and living God who responds to mankind. God will intervene. This is His creation. Amen? This is His world. God has, down through history, stepped into creation, stepped into His creation, into His world, to affect His plans. And God will do that. But as a society, as a people collectively, we're facing either revival or judgment from God. Either we'll be awakened to the things of God, or inevitably, that's the nature of wickedness. Without a turn back to God, it goes down the drain. There is not another alternative to how this turns out, how this plays out, right? I mean, that we have enough history to know that. I believe we're in the beginning of judgment of God, but I believe at this point it to be a judgment unto awakening. And God's still judging in measure to try and awaken this. Now, if you know anything about the judgment of God, you are praying for an awakening. Amen? Awakening is God's preference. A revival, a turning back to Him, is God's preference. That's why God is long-suffering, because that's His preference. But God will bring judgment when He sees that awakening efforts are no longer effective. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of an angry God. Revival comes when God's people, people who really know God, get sick of the spiritual conditions around them. Revival comes when people who know God's hearts can be touched, when He finds ones that will respond to His call, ones that He can work through. Amen? Down through history, that's been, look at the Bible. When God found ones He could work through, He effected an awakening. When He couldn't find ones He could work through is when it went to judgment. Amen? Isaiah 6, verse 1 through verse 8, it's a very familiar passage. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid down my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. That's what I want to talk to us just briefly about tonight. God's still looking for people he can call and use. God still needs, here I am, Christians today. Amen? People, now he didn't know what the call was, did he? Isaiah didn't know what he was being asked to do. God said, who can I send? And Isaiah said, well, here I am, send me. When we get in tough times, wicked times, times of loss, they either inspire us to fear or faith. Amen? And you're going to battle fear no matter what. Naturally, if we don't obtain faith, we are going to succumb to fear. When we become discouraged and fearful, when the obstacles and challenges that face us are far beyond our resources and wisdom, and they are today, we don't have an answer for it in and of ourselves. We don't. I'm telling you, I've been enough places, heard enough voices. Now, there's a lot of voices, but I'm telling you, in and of ourselves, we don't have an answer for what ails us today. Amen. And when we see that, we can become discouraged and fearful. That's the natural response. Or we can set our eyes on God and become filled with faith and confidence. I know this is an old, simple story, but you all know about David, don't you? David and Goliath. 1 Samuel 17:23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the army of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that's come up? Surely to defy Israel he's come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and give his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake unto the men that stood by, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? What did David see when the giant came out? First of all, what did everybody else see when the giant came out? Somebody way bigger than them that they had not a chance with, right? They knew they went down there, he was going to throw them around like a rag doll and kill them. What did David see? Did he see the size of the giant? Did he see the impossibility of anybody defeating him? No, what he seen was, this guy is insulting the living God and bringing a reproach on God's people. That's what he's seen, right? He's seen what the real problem was. And David was determined to do something. He's just a lad, but he wasn't going to just stand idly by and watch another defeat occur. In the 40th verse, he said, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. Means he's still too young to grow a beard. That's what it means. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, Come to me. I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls there and the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, and the God of the armies of Israel, who thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I'll smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. How'd David go into the battle? Did he size up the odds of him winning? Did he even notice that how outgunned he was? This man even had somebody else carrying a shield in front of him. Huge. David's just out there with his sling and a little stone. What was he focused on? Focused on God's glory and God's ability, didn't he? He was focused on that God was going to win the battle so that God would get the glory. You know, we need to do a little bit more of that today, don't we? We need to get our eyes off ourselves, off our abilities, focus on God, focus on His power to deliver, but also focus on His honor and glory. He is the God, the creator of this earth. He's a real and living God. Not only that, He humbled Himself and came and died that we might be in right relationship with Him. So the disrespect that He's receiving is doubly undue. One, because He's king, but secondly, because of the love He demonstrated in offering His salvation. We ought not be so offended about whatever they're saying about us or doing to us. We ought to be offended about the reproach that they bring on God with all the foolishness that's being espoused and spoken. Amen? We need to focus on God, His power to deliver, His honor, His glory. I also want you to be reminded that God works through people. Could a God send lightning down and killed Goliath? Yeah. Anytime He wanted to. If God was fed up with him, God could have done that. Did God choose to do that? No. In fact, He let him out there be humiliated for days before David showed up, right? You know why? God works through people. God works through people. That has been how God has chosen to work in this world. God works through people. God leads through people. God sends an awakening through those whose hearts and minds He can engage. God still calls today. I still firmly believe that. The voice of God, people who know God can still hear His call. Amen? Maybe Julie, but one of the great needs today amongst us is people who are truly called of God, filled with His Spirit, that have a vision of God's people being what they ought to be. Amen? Truly, not the pet peeve, not a desire to speak, but ones that feel God's calling them. The work of God rises and falls on ones who are ready to follow God fully. Amen?
Yes.
The half-hearted don't get it done, folks. One of our greatest needs today is truly God-called, Spirit-filled leaders and Spirit-filled people who recognize that and follow. Amen? God doesn't call the disinterested very often, folks. As you look at the world around you, I hope it's beginning to sink in that the only hope we have is for God to awaken people to reality. People are so deceived, very few humans breathing oxygen on this planet have any concept of the real reality of their existence. They really don't. There's so many distorted views both in and out of the church. Amen?
Yes.
The only hope we have is God to awaken people to reality. The truth is, there's not a greater need in the church today than people be awakened to a greater reality of God. There's certainly not a greater need in the world today. So I just wanted to ask us tonight, do you have a here am I attitude? Do you have a here am I attitude? Are you ready and willing to be used of God however God would choose to use you? Do you desire to be part of an awakening and renewal of God's people? A lot of good people today just desire to be left alone to live their own life the way they want to live it. Honest. A lot of good people today just want left alone so they can live their life in peace and do what they want to do. But what God needs is somebody with a here am I attitude. What He needs is more than somebody. He needs several somebodies worth a here am I attitude. And it's personal at this point. Do you desire? If God's looking, whether it's big, little, difficult, whatever it is, if God's looking, Do you have a "hear my" attitude that says, hey, use me however you can use me to be a benefit to the kingdom of God? You know how to be ready and be prepared to be a "here I am" Christian? First of all, purpose to be used. Amen? Purpose to be used. Purpose to have yourself in a position that God can use you and find something for you to do in this awakening and this bringing about a renewal. Develop your passion and your compassion. Amen? Passion and compassion, both of them. A passion for God and His cause. A passion for the glory of God and His righteousness. A passion that people would see God as He really is. That God would be honored for who He really is. A passion that people would know the truth about God. The truth about salvation. The truth about living this life. Amen? Develop a passion for that. It's mankind's only hope. It's your family's only hope. It's your loved ones. It's your friends and neighbors. It's your only hope. Amen. It's our nation's only hope. Develop a passion for God and His cause. That's first. A burning desire to please God. A burning desire to be used to God. A burning desire to see God's glory, who He really is, rightly portrayed to people. Amen. That when you come in contact, when you see these things, you have a passion that people would see God as He really is. And then develop a compassion. It's a compassion for those around us. Both those that are saved and the sinner. Amen? When you see problems, you ought to see spiritual problems. Because almost every one of them, there's a back problem that is a spiritual problem. Now, it's manifest in different ways. And yes, we have to deal with those physical things. We have to deal with those temporal things. But see through that. Yes, have compassion for their physical and temporal needs. But see through that and see the spiritual problem. Hope and pray and have compassion that people get the real help they need. Amen? People need the Lord. That's what they need in their life. They need the Lord. Let God inspire your faith and your vision. Lord willing, we're going to look more at the church because more than ever, I believe the real message of the church is needed today. What I'm hearing ain't it. But I'm going to tell you what, the real message, we have a message that the people who know the Lord need to hear today. Satan is working in falseness all over the place and it's destroying people. Let God inspire your faith and vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is here, happy is he. Another translation says, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Encourage yourself in this discouraging time by focusing on God. Keep your focus. I preach much on that. Who God is, what His power is, what His wisdom is. Because I want us to keep in mind our God's bigger than all of this put together. Our God's bigger, wiser, in control more than all of this put together. We need to see that because sometimes if we see it us versus them, we're in trouble. Because there's more of them than there's us in those terms. Amen? More power, more influence. But if you throw God in the equation, then you got a different equation. Amen? Purpose to be used of God. And then prepare to be used of God. Maintain a fervent relationship with God. There is no substitute to spending time with God. Maintain a fervent relationship with God. Keep the way clean. Don't allow anything in your life that puts a hindrance between you and God. Learn to rely on God. Hey, you got enough problems, I got enough problems in life. We ought to be taking advantage of these opportunities that we really need God to cry out for Him and learn to rely on Him in everything. Amen. Learn that He's dependable. Learn that His answer may not be our answer, but it's still the best answer. Amen? And then study to show thyself approved. People are dying from a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. If you ain't got a knowledge of the Word of God, you can't do much to feed them. Amen? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. study not just to be able to quote scripture, but to be able to know God's thoughts, to be able to think like God does about the world, to be able to so ingrained with the Word that you can bring the life-giving Word of bread to people.
Right.
Let the events of life develop faith and trust in you. Be available. Don't get so tied up that you can't do, you can't go, you can't be. Be available. Be an example. Be an example of, here am I, send me. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Amen. Be available to the kingdom of God. Purpose to be used. Prepare to be used. And then pray to be used. Pray that God would use you. We ain't all going to be standing on a big stage with a big crowd expounding the Word of God. In fact, probably none of us will be, truth is. We do it one person at a time, one soul at a time, in the sphere of influence that we're in, be it big or small. Pray for the needs around you. You have enough needs in your own family, your own neighborhood, and our own congregation to keep us busy praying. Amen. And looking for ways to be used. Pray for those that don't know the Lord. Stand in the gap. Pray on behalf of our country. I know the temptation is, pray God judge them. But I tell you what, if God judges our nation, you and me are going to be in the soup too. So, pray. Stand in the gap. Pray for a little bit longer that God would withhold evil. But don't just pray it and go about our way enriching ourselves or doing what pleases us. If we're honest about it, we're going to be praying that God bring change and be available to be used of God if that's His will. Ezekiel 22 and 29, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they've oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed on their head, saith the Lord. If God don't find some here my Christians, He said, I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. That's a fearful thing for any people to fall into. And nations throughout time have fallen into that. And it's an ugly thing. Amen? Wickedness left to itself is an ugly, ugly thing. Human beings have the capacity to sink lower than most of us can even imagine. Let's stand in the gap. This ought to be enough to awaken us, right? I mean, what's going on around us? He shouldn't have turned up any higher, should he? I mean, I hope, you know. The other thing is, most of us have been mostly spared. I pray you don't have to bring it any closer to home to get our attention too, folks. Amen. I pray God awaken us, all of us, truthfully, every Christian that really knows the Lord ought to have that same attitude of heart. Hey, here am I, use me. I don't know what I can do. I don't know what ability I have. I don't know how I can affect anything or anybody. But God, if you see, you notice Isaiah made this speech, man, I'm a man of unclean lips and a bunch. I live among them. He brought a coal off the fire and anointed him and said, hey, you're clean now. What was Isaiah's response? I'm ready. Amen? If we have things that we think are a hindrance, pray God to give us the help. Amen. Don't use it as a shield. Simply say, God, if it be your will, free me of this so I can be more effective. But if you see, as Paul prayed, a thorn in the flesh, God seemed that Paul was more effective with the thorn in the flesh than without it. Amen. So God left it there. We ought to be willing for whichever that is. Amen. Say, God, here am I. Use me to what you can. In the sphere you can. And if we purpose to be used, if we're praying to be used, if we're preparing our own heart and mind to be used, I can't help but believe God's going to use the vessels He finds available and willing. Amen? Hey, I tell you what, this is our hope, right? This is our hope. Listen, if we don't respond this way, what right have we got to expect God to do anything for us?
Amen.
Come on, honest, folks. Honest. If we don't respond in our heart to say, "Here am I, send me," what hope have we got? I mean, why should we expect God to say, "Look, God, I want to live my life and do what I want to do, but I sure wish you'd clean up this mess so it's not an inconvenience to me." But you know what? A lot of us, our thoughts, if you boil them down, ain't real long way away from that sometimes. That's purpose. If we go down in flames, I want to at least be one that was sounding the call and to the bitter end pleading with people to turn to God and come to know Him. Amen?
Yes.
But I have a confidence that this isn't how the story ends. Amen? And for that reason, I have a greater confidence in God that if He can find willing vessels, we can see progress made in spite of all that's going on around us. Amen?
Amen.
May God bless you.